Blog Talk Radio.
Go on this live cast. Let's chat again soon.
Thank you so much.
You got to come on my podcast, Jesse.
Yeah, whenever.
Okay.
You hit me up.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
He's great, everybody. Check out Jesse Michel.
Hi.
Are we on?
I think we're about ready to go.
Well, we're still missing two people.
And then we're about ready to go.
That last guy is the cutest bear.
Sid, if you want to call, you could try the test line.
Oh, hello.
Yes. Yes, we hear you.
Metal injection. How are you guys holding up?
Fine. Hey, okay. I was watching some news coverage before this.
I can't. I just what there? How many? I did. I checked.
There's nothing.
New Yorker, and the New Yorker. I was like 3% reporting, and then there was a huge banner ad. We should talk about this at the top. And the banner ad was like, "In uncertain times, like your wealth management needs." I was like, the demographic is clear.
Hello. One thing I wanted to mention. Oh, well, I guess I'll wait till Darren. Very nice. Darren's lost connect audio.
Somebody say something.
Hey.
Something.
Hi.
Hi. So I wanted to quickly say, instead of G-chatting, there is a chat function in Zoom, and we should just use that because I turn off all my notifications. So that
you mean during the show?
During the show, yeah. Like, don't G-chat me because I never see it until the end of the show. But if we just use this right here, the chat in the Zoom.
Works for me.
Sure.
That way we could share links or whatever, it's questions or audio issues. No, I can't hear you. I cannot.
How about now?
Darren, I can hear you. No,
I'll be back in one second.
No. Okay. Sorry.
My sound is really low. I don't know why. Oh, I heard that. Yeah.
Testing.
Hot licks. Like a waving flag. Should we all just put American flags or what? Not too proud to be an American today.
Soviet flag. No, you're muted. There you go. Looking here. Oh.
Check 1, 2.
There
Yay!
We go. USA.
Yeah.
USA.
I wanted to share with you a tweet from today in the news that may be relevant to talk about. I'm putting it in the Zoom chat.
Okay.
Oh, God, we're opening this. I killed my computer.
Oh, I mean, I can just open it and then share this, share it. It's screen, so you don't have to open anything.
Did you see it, Rob?
Nice.
Who is that?
She is like anarchist running as like a Republican for sheriff or whatever. They got all those headlines.
Trans Satanist anarchist is how she bills herself.
Good for her.
She was a guest.
I'm glad we've enumerated 25,000 gender pronouns, but nobody knows what anyone makes for money or what class. There's no class. No one has any class. There's no class categories at all. But everyone's like, oh yeah, no, I'm fluid non this today. But
get it started.
That I'm broke? No. Don't talk about that. Don't talk about that.
That's not important.
Let's save it for the air, folks. Save it for the air. Everybody ready to go?
Oh, I'm ready.
No, how you doing?
I was born ready.
Is this working?
Yep.
Okay, so I'm ready.
Cool. I want to quickly test.
Go! This is your announcer, Chuck Landington.
Okay, great. Let's do it, baby!
What's that sound? What's that arguing?
I believe we are live. Let's get it going, folks.
Go! This is your announcer, Chuck Landington, welcoming you to the Metal Injection Livecast. David Hasselhoff has a metal band now. That is all we'll be talking about tonight. Why? What else is going on? Oh, right. The Metal Injection Livecast starts now.
That is right. Welcome. It is election night 2020. I can't believe it's been 4 years since the previous presidential election. And we are live in living color. We've upgraded our setup. We are now in the Metal Injection News headquarters. And we have a very special guest correspondent for the evening. Welcome the illustrious Shredder.
Oh no, democracy is disintegrating. Because of consumer neoliberal capitalism.
Mrs. Smith is joining us. That was beautiful. A rendition of the national anthem to kick off tonight's election night edition of the Metal Injection Livecast. Let me introduce everyone. I am Rob, here with Noah, Sid, and 3D, and the lovely Mrs. Smith, as mentioned. And you could be a part of the show. Our phone lines are open. We're going. 213-WIDE-NUT. That's 213-943-3688. And we are live.
I was feeling very embarrassed to be an American until that rendition of our national anthem. And now I feel like a bald eagle has landed on my chest and started pecking at my heart.
That's just me, Darren.
Oh. What?
Sorry.
You're in here? I thought we were like zooming from far away.
The call is coming from inside the house.
Hello, everybody.
Thank you for joining us from your boudoir, your guitar room.
You're welcome. I'm in an Airbnb that's turned permanent. When COVID went crazy, I moved in here temporarily and now I'm stuck. So it's complicated. I won't get into it, but I'm basically like a Brooklyn creative class dusty person up here in an attic. I'm the old auntie in the attic, but I'm learning a lot. So.
I like that pink amp you have behind you.
That's my little acoustic, in case we get any kumbaya, Sid wants to sing, a little Sarah McLachlan.
Would you?
isn't Kumbaya like reserved for when good things happen?
I know. Yes, no. Whatever we want to sing is fine.
Okay.
Aaron, you're such a pessimist.
Listen, what you got anything good do you think it's gonna happen tonight? Howie Hawkins gonna sweep the electoral board?
Well, Noah's still engaged, so that's good.
That's
yeah,
true.
There's like other things to be like happy.
We have
about.
Our health. We have the lovely Mrs. Smith.
Yeah.
Mrs.
So, like,
Swift will be here in our second hour.
Who's that? Some mandolin playing. And,
she plays the lyre.
She's got talent and is now has 10 million more followers than me. To count our blessings, we are safe for tonight. For tonight. We have what we need. We have friendship. We have companionship. We have to build left power, but that's a larger project. You know, for tonight, we've done what we can, right?
I want to mention one thing that's been bothering me is seeing all of these news stories about businesses boarding up all over the country. Because to me, it's kind of like they're like asking for it in a way. I don't know. It's like I can't explain it. Like I know they're doing it in anticipation of potential riots, but
they're taking a dim view of humanity is what you're saying.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it just seems weird to just take that leap to expect there to be rioting. Has there been rioting after any other election?
Maybe Darren is running all the stores and he just has a really negative attitude about what's about to happen.
I think, Darren's a secret capitalist this whole time. I would have been...
Small business owner, that backbone of American...
He's been hiding money in his freezer this whole time.
My negative reaction would have been to side with the looters, though. That's the thing. I don't doubt that there's going to be looting. I just think the boards are cowardly. Face it like a man, you scumbags.
And make your insurance companies pay for it. We have our phone lines are open, as I mentioned, 213-WIDE-NUT. It's election night 2020. I remember election night 2016, like it was 4 years ago. We were gloating about how Trump was going to lose. And then like 20 minutes after.
Not all of us.
Like how it looked
I don't know
like
that we
Trump
were gloating. We were like cautiously optimistic.
We were cautiously optimistic. And then 20 minutes after the show ended, it was like, oh no.
Yeah.
956, you're on the Metal Injection live chat. What's up? What's the name? Where are you from?
Hey, it's Ed the Beast from South Texas.
Hello.
Ed the Beast from South Texas. Texas right now is leaning blue. Last time I checked, did you hit the polls today or earlier this month?
He's bedridden, Bob. Rub it in.
No, I don't care for politics. They're all assholes anyways. I don't care.
They're all dirty politicians.
So
yes,
yeah, so,
they're all corrupt, lying bastards. Yes, so I don't care for politics.
So how are you stressing on this election day?
I can't care less. I got other things to worry about in my life than politics.
Rob, did you say that Biden is winning Texas? He's ahead by 40,000 votes. He's ahead by. With 57% reporting.
Well, good for him.
I'm sorry, what did you say, ma'am?
What is the number?
I said
270.
No, 213 wide nut.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, yes. 213 wide nut is the phone number.
213-943-3688.
I'm tweeting it out. I'm sorry to interrupt. Life is untouched by politics.
We don't say it enough anyway. 213-943-3688.
57% Jackson Biden has a very, very narrow lead.
Negligible, statistically.
Have you been listening to any heavy metal in the last week?
Yeah. I've been. I got a subscription to Apple Music and. I pretty much filled my phone's hard drive with nothing but music, everything I can possibly new stuff and old stuff that I grew up with, just running the gamut, even some old school hip hop, and gangster rap, you know, some OG Ice-T and Cypress Hill, their first record, and other stuff that I grew up with that I've been wanting to, you know, to listen to again. So I've got like 25 gigs of music in my phone right now.
And the rest is pornography?
I wish, but no, it's the other remaining is like photos and videos that my daughter took with my phone.
Oh,
it's better than pornography, I guess.
Yeah, I hope that's not pornography.
No.
All right. Well, Ed the Beast, thank you for calling in. We got more callers. The lines are blowing up. You can be a part of the Metal Injection Live Cast Election 2020 special.
Something to say.
Yes, if you have something, a question, a comment, a criticism, area code 905. You have rang up 213 Wide Nut. What's your name and where are you from?
Hello. My name is Alex, and I'm calling from Toronto, actually. So I'm watching this as an observer. And yeah, I mean, it's funny that you said about how everybody is kind of waiting in the strides for riots to happen. But I remember 2011 when the Vancouver Canucks lost the Stanley Cup, and you know, we lost our shit. So who knows what's going to happen?
Were you involved?
Yeah, it was all of downtown Vancouver just completely erupted, and people were in the streets looting. And I mean, if that can piss us off, who knows what can happen.
Well, let me ask you, what did you gain at the end of the night? Did you pick up a television, some sort of electronics, a new tire perhaps? What did you loot?
Did you steal a moose?
Sports bra. Sports bras are expensive.
Oh no, we lost her.
Aren't all bras expensive?
Yeah, but like sports bras are like really expensive. They have no support. I mean, there's like less work that's put into them.
Oh,
I don't know. Mrs. Smith, do you agree?
Well, yes, but I feel like with looting, you just end up with what you grab. You know, you go for the clothing steamer, like the what it looks like the really good one, the really rechargeable, and you miss it, and you just grab a bunch of crappy Christmas lights. You know, that like the multicolored kind. You know, the kind that are not going to last. It's just a smash and grab, you know, unless you're the trailblazer that's smashing the window and you're the first one in there. I don't know. I've never done it.
By the way, I just want to say that you are one step from being canceled with your all bras matter shit. Don't bring your reactionary women's underwear opinions into the Zoom chat, all right?
Some people wear a sports bra as outerwear.
Is that right? Open your mind, Darren.
Yeah, it's like a top. It's like a bikini top.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib right now.
Maybe someone would wear it underneath just a gray sweatshirt.
Yeah.
Possible.
I'm sorry, Vancouver, what was your name again?
My name is Alex.
Alex, thank you. It's a very unique name.
I got lost there. My cat decided to lay on my phone and wanted to... completely turned my 15 minutes of fame off, so I'm sorry.
Alex, is the emotion towards Americans fear, pity, anger?
This is a safe space, be honest.
What is it? What are people feeling? It's like, oh, the poor Americans are. Well, they
honestly, we're feeling the same as you. I think here we have access to all of the U.S. channels, obviously, so we get on the U.S. election bandwagon a lot more, because in Canada, our election nights are boring as hell. More people are like indifferent to what's going on in Canadian politics because I wouldn't say we're polite. We're politicians. We have politicians. Whereas in the States, I mean, even now, like I don't understand how you guys are calling things so early when it takes so long for us. Like every vote has to be counted before they say, oh, this guy won this district.
Great point. Completely agree with that. There should be no coverage. I don't want to see any coverage until every vote is counted. I don't want to see who's ahead. I don't want to see this one's up by 40,000 votes. It just influences the vote. Like there's no reason.
It doesn't matter who's ahead. No one could be ahead because all the votes aren't counted. So
I wanted to ask you guys a question, though.
You were saying about the rioting, Alex, really quick.
I think she wanted to ask a question first. You want to take her question?
I'm sorry.
I know. I'm not on Zoom. It's hard. I wanted to ask a question to you because have you noticed that election night has become like more of an entertainment thing in the last 15 years? I just noticed it ever since, you know, 9/11, everything's kind of like progressively into this like video game format.
Yeah.
It's like it's a function of everything going to the right. Democrats have gone to the right. Republicans have gone to the right. They keep leapfrogging each other. And that's the result. Like, there's no substance. If you look at the substance of what politics is in this country, you're going to vomit. So they have to make it all about people's personalities. You know? And that's a function of that.
Now, what I wanted to ask is, you mentioned that in Vancouver, your hockey team lost the Stanley Cup. And because of that, you rioted.
Yeah.
And so that would, like, I'm going to guess that's majority white people who rioted, right?
Yeah, young, already drunk. There's always a joke around the Toronto Maple Leafs, if they ever won the Stanley Cup, that if you're in Toronto or anywhere in a 100-mile radius, you want to get out because people are going to be doing whatever they want. Because it'd be like this final relief after 68 years.
Well, luckily.
And
that's not in danger of happening anytime soon.
Final release, I believe, was a Burzum album. No.
Isn't that what you get when you go to the certain massage parlors?
Well, the point I was getting
maybe not
at,
a final release. That would be if you die when it happens.
Well, if you don't tip exactly well enough, you get the shiv.
The point I was getting to is, what if, you know, I don't want to jinx it one way or the other, but what if Trump loses and the rioting is, in fact, by the same personality profile that would be a Vancouver Canuck fan, which would be a white person? Like, the rioting is by the Trump supporters. Could that be a possibility?
I think so. We're going through a whole scenario right now. I don't know if you remember the van attacks that happened in Toronto in 2017, but a lot of Canadian news media is kind of preparing for something to happen in the States because we understand, like, there is a rise of this young, angry, I need to attach myself to something, whether it be religion or music or politics, that they just need an outlet. And regardless of who wins, somebody is going to react in a way and somebody is going to do that. And I know my colleague in Massachusetts, when he went down to, I think it was Texas for a weekend, and he saw all of these trucks coming out, all of these Trump supporters coming out, he was just floored because he said, this is the exact scenario which we kind of look down upon in other countries. And we say, oh, this is terrorist actions and stuff like that. But it's the exact same scenario you're watching playing out in front of your eyes, which really speaks to the fact that, you know, there is this mob mentality driven by this entertainment rating factor, by the emotional underlying of what's going on in politics. And I mean, in Canada, we're just
doped up on legal weed. For a Canadian,
I have a question, actually. This just occurred to me. Do you think, Alex, that the Canadian segment of, like, incel, bootlicking, like, authoritarian, right-wing, nut job white people are in Canada are going to riot if, like, Trump loses? Do you think they care that much? Are they invested in that, like, as a global phenomenon?
Absolutely. There's, you know, anti-maskers here who are demonstrating every week. There's been church burnings in the last couple of weeks around my area. We're invested, it's a North American society, really. We're invested more in the States and the outcome. And I can even say that for my dad, who watches Fox News religiously. It's just, you know, it's again that it's so exciting. And we know the U.S. is so big and we want to be in the U.S., but uniquely Canadian, that you will see that reaction here. And maybe even Canadians going down or trying to go down to enjoy the potential for chaos.
Oh, lend a hand, you mean?
Maybe. I don't know. Don't cancel
me
for that.
You know what really I don't understand about well, there's a lot to not understand about Trump supporters, but what, like, I play with a lot of them. I play poker, so, well, pre-COVID, I played with a lot of Trump supporters. And I don't get, like, if you're a Trump supporter, and what do you think you're getting with Biden that's going to be so offensive to you? Like, you, the same black people are going to go to prison. The same people are going to be poor. The same people are mostly not going to have health care. Like, everything you hate is still going to be, like, what do you, how is your life going to change that much?
The difference is affect. The difference is the affect. And the,
right. And the merchandise.
Merchandise and the style. And it's a style that we have watched. It's the kind of overweight jock, ex-jock with a truck and a flag and all this stuff. And it's Joe Sixpack and this cliche of a type of person that, support the troops, and, you know, of course we support troops. We don't want them to go to war. I don't want them to go to war. That's how I support them.
Yeah, I support the troops coming home. Yeah.
I support their treatment for PTSD. I support all of it. They're cannon fodder. It's a tragedy, you know, but this is a different thing. It's like this sort of tragic, sort of dead masculinity. It has sort of nowhere to go. It has no purpose. It doesn't have an industrial purpose. There's no, you know, there's no factory to go work in or anything like that. So it's kind of a sort of an empty energy, and it's looking for somewhere to go. And I think it's why it's so telling that they run people over with cars. It's the most cowardly, I mean, just a truly cowardly act. The poor young lady that was killed in this fashion in Charlottesville, they have these incredible guns amongst people, their opponents, none of which are armed.
Heather Heyer.
You know, Heather Heyer. But they have these incredible military-style weapons at a demonstration where, yeah, maybe people are throwing bottles. Maybe they're looting a little bit. Maybe they're causing a little bit of anarchy. But you're bringing these war – I mean, it's so not engaged to me. It's so disconnected.
That brings up something I wanted to mention, actually, which is, you know, you released a music video about Antifa niece. Your niece has been at these protests, apparently.
Well, she's shown up with a bullhorn. You know, it's like she's looked at a Molotov cocktail and been like, someday I'm going to go one of those. But mostly she's just yelling anarchy in the streets, and she wants to be part of something. And I am a member now of Parents and Friends of Antifa members, PFAM, because I'm trying to understand what she's going through. And so I wrote a song about it, Antifa Knees, and it's being suppressed by the algorithms because it has the word Antifa in it. And it's not pro-Antifa or anti-Antifa, which is my position, because I don't really...
Would anti-Antifa be just fa?
Fashy, baby, fashy.
Well, let's play a little clip here. First, I want to point out that in New Jersey, our neighboring state here, we are all in New York, there is a ballot to legalize marijuana recreationally, and currently 69% of the 420 initiative is yes.
Nice.
Okay, let's hear a little clip of Antifa. Wow, so many, you've been all over. Oh, I'm sorry. What was that? We couldn't hear you, Mrs. Smith.
I said that was for you, Darren, that Chiron says, full luxury alternatives to capitalism.
Yes. It's for all of us, really.
And the last title, Mrs. Smith, the niece is taking the place of Tucker Carlson, and Mrs. and she's spinning in her circle, and there's flames behind her. And it says at the bottom, generations unite to topple crappy society.
It's so nice to have political music to counter the presence of like Randy Rainbow and the basic bitch politics.
Mm-hmm. And it's actually a complex, if I may, I mean, if you follow through the video at the beginning, you'd be like, wait, Mrs. Smith is on Tucker Carlson. What say? You have to follow the thread. You have to follow the storyline of the niece and the Applebee's waitress with the Eat the Rich t-shirt and the whole story. And in the end, you see Mrs. Smith, they all join together. you know, and I played it for a fan of mine who I teach guitar lessons to. And he said, he's like, I'm in the middle. He's like, I sometimes vote Republican, I sometimes vote Democrat. He said, I feel like this video could bring everyone together. Because in the end, it really is about class, which is that it's not about left and right. It's about haves and have nots.
Wouldn't it be great if we get to like the 24th century and our entire society is structured around Mrs. Smith, like the Bill and Ted movies, but in real life?
Oh,
I would love that. A political office?
Oh, can I be kept alive, like all in a chamber? Like,
that'd be like Futurama, where your head is preserved.
I want to be like Van Gogh, or like you're really famous now that you're. But thank you for watching. Thank you for playing my video. It was great fun to make. It was stimulated by a Trump supporter. He said something like, I'm a fan of yours. Now I just think you're a dumb tranny or something. You know, they love you until you say something about, you know, I started coming out first for Bernie Sanders in the primary. So I can't stay silent because these kids that follow me, they are not flourishing. Okay. I don't got the trust fund kids. I don't got the cool kids. They're in trailer parks. There's full tragedy lives. Okay. Something like, let's get mobilized. And they're like, I can't believe you for Bernie Sanders. And then I kept quiet about Trump for so long because I resented having to talk about him. And also I felt like, what am I going to do about Trump? But with this COVID, I couldn't stay silent. People were dying. And the idea of this work is freedom. Go out and risk your life and die so the economy can survive. The sickness of this idea. And I said, I can't stay silent. He's disgusting. And when I started speaking out on Facebook, they came for me.
Really?
Mean boomers. And one of them said something like, I hate you now or something. And I said, why are you so mad at me? What happened? Did you go to Applebee's with your niece and she joined Antifa? And I was like, that's it. That was like, that's the song. Oh, Trump's my shadow ally.
Hey, whatever works. Go ahead, Bob. Sorry.
No, you go ahead, Dan.
I was going to say, well, we're obsessing on this politics and stuff. I wanted to know what Mrs. Smith has been doing since being on our show.
Oh, let's see. What happened? Well, I did the Wa-Off. Yes, right. I did the Wa-Off in March.
You were here promoting that, yeah.
I was here promoting that. That was one of the last shows before the COVID. In fact,
it was like another world.
I was surprised it even happened. And when I got home, I was like, this is not good. And I thought I probably had it because all the Metallica fans came from out of town. I think there were about 1,500 people. It was this club show. And I thought they're going to be throwing like heroin pipes at me because they're evil people. This dark music. It's moms and dads. It's Disney, honey. It's Disney. And that was so cute. And they were so funny. They were like, boo, Mrs. Smith, in a sweet way. They really got into the spirit of it. And I got to tell you, meeting Kirk Hammett, what a thrill. When he came walking through the door, it really is something when you're just right there. I mean, and you think, I don't, okay, well, you're a little shorter than I imagined. I see you. It's from these epic photos, the rock star. And,
Mr. Smith, you're too kind. He's a lot shorter than you expected.
Much shorter than I expected. And he was so lovely. And he really is kind of a hippie. He really
what did he
is.
Say to you? What was like the first thing he said to you?
Well, we had communicated by intermediaries up until that point, and I had been in touch with their – actually, there were people in their team who really made it happen. Chris Risner, Chad Z, who's one of the guitar techs, James Hetfield's guitar tech. And so and then Kirk's. But he just came walking up to me and he said, this is going to be so much fun. We're just going to make it fun. And it's going to be like totally campy. He's like, I think we should just be really campy. And I was like, well, yes.
Wow, I love that.
And me. And at first when we started rehearsing, I thought, he's so shy. You know, he's such a shy one. And I thought he's probably going to, I don't want to upstage him in front of his own fans. That would be rude. You're trying... Whenever you're in the room with someone like that, you're gauging the power dynamic. Who's got the, you know what I mean? And so we're staging it, and he starts doing these broad, like, what? Like, broad acting, like, big. And I thought, this guy knows what he's doing. He's on stage in front of 50,000 people. He knows how to sell a beat, a comedic beat. He got so into it. He was stood on a giant wah-wah pedal that he had made. I was like, damn you. And then he said, you're going to win. Do you know that you're going to win? Like, you're going to win. And I was like, well, you know, like, thank you so much. And I was like, you know, and he was so sweet. And then we began rehearsing, and we collaborated. And it's the drummer from Queens of the Stone Age and Doc Coyle and the bass player from Metallica. And there I am giving orders about when to say play what. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, it just became artists solving a problem. How do we tell this story? And then when we did the show, of course, I was so nervous and my hands are sweating. And the audience was so sweet and it was so much fun. And then it was just, it's one of those things where then before you know it, it's just over. And all of that anticipation, you know. But to have Metallica share my video or my image on their Instagram, things like that, was really just such a thrill. And then the next day I saw him in the airport pushing a huge thing of suitcases. Huge! And with his beautiful, lovely companion. And I saw him and I said, oh, stars, they're just like us. You know, he's his own luggage, you know. And it was just great. It was so much fun. I'm trying to think of other fun things that happened. We made a video for Steve Vai. Because, you know, Kirk Hammett was taught by Joe Satriani, who also taught Steve Vai guitar. So we – and Steve Vai is a real wah-wah. He's great with it. And so we – and I email with him a little bit. And so we made a video, Kirk and I, like, we, you know, why are you holding back with the wah-wah, you know? And it was so – it was just, you know, cute and fun. And he loved it. And it was great fun. It was great fun. And then over. No gigs.
I had a question for you about the whole thing with Kirk Hammett. Like, would you say when you first met him and when you first started booking and putting all this together, like, would you say he got what you do, like your act, and or was he like a little bewildered by it? And by the end, would you say that he got it more or we got it the whole way through?
Well, it's interesting. So what I learned a lot about how one social media presence filters through the world, because one doesn't know. You put something up. I mean, yeah, if a famous person makes a comment, you go, okay, well, that famous person knows who I am. But a lot of for years, I had no idea that anyone was watching it. It wasn't like I had millions of views. And what he said was that the first video he saw of me was when I was in Times Square looking for Carlisle, and that was to promote my off-Broadway play. Where I was playing guitar. It was a song and dance show where I sang. And I had these two backup dancers, and it was just all about Carlisle. And he's like, you were just like, you know, screaming for your cat, and all these people were screaming his name. He's like, I had never seen anything like it before. And then the Metallica dudes, the crew, were big fans, according to them, of Mrs. Smith. And Chris Risner told me this one story. He's like, there would be these moments where, like, we'd all be like on the tour bus on our phone, and there was someone who came walking in, and they just had this look on their face, and they said, "Have you heard of Mrs. Smith?" And they were like, "Dude, yes, like, get on board. You're totally old. You're totally out of it. You're not cool. Like, we've known about Mrs. Smith for a long time." And I was like, "Wow, you just don't know that this is happening out there." You know, when you post a funny video. And I think the techs and the fan, they're the ones that have percolated this out into the world, because the Mrs. Smith thing is sort of like an inside joke with guitar and a little Final Tap type of a thing, you know? So I think that, he followed the Mark Ignacy show where the challenge was made.
One of our listeners actually attended the show, Sam Ian. He posted this photo in our live Discord. We have an ongoing Discord for our listeners, by the way, that goes on all throughout the week.
There.
Join us. Here's a little photo. And I queued up, there's like official video footage.
Skip it to the middle of the thing.
Look at you. Now, like, okay, so we're about like 4 minutes into this.
That was 20 pounds.
How long was the whole event?
It was 7 minutes long. And it was really like a little rock opera.
And we I'm sorry.
The beginning, you know, we had to stage it. It was like, how does it start? Who comes out? What's the music that plays? All of the hair looks fantastic. I'm so skinny there. Thank God.
And Kirk Hammett's other band played there too, right? Like that was the
So they had a cover band gig and they were doing all these fabulous covers and they sound great. And this is great.
You look so comfortable up there.
I was gonna
you are just meant to be right there on stage with him.
You look more comfortable than he does, actually.
The one thing that's tough about that kind of a gig is when I'm not sure about the sound of the guitar, I just go to the persona. But the one thing about a gig like that is when you come out and you got one shot, it's like you don't know how the amp is going to behave, the levels. When you're on stage, you can really adjust with the and so my biggest concern was like, am I too loud or like it's too dense or like is the distortion? And I had all these crazy pedals. I have the quad wah-wah pedal. It's four wah-wah pedals in one. That's how I win the competition. You can see it there on the side of the stage. So four wah-wah pedals that all operate with a metal plate on top. And I had Sweetwater make that. And that's how I win against him. And but it really is more about like, look, he's so good at this. Look, he pulled this out on stage.
He didn't tell you he was going to do that, huh?
Oh. Hang on.
Like a cute couple.
Ouch. That's me. Pinch. Ouch. He goes for it. I kept having to.
You could take him.
I was like, don't shred it all at the beginning, Kirk. Save your best licks, for the end. Oh, I do the laughing. That's a Steve Vai trick.
Being a heel. Look at this. He's doing the heel face.
This is great. This is just walk. Two wah-wahs at once.
Wah-wah, you're making
him. He's great because he's
hungry.
He can't, and we worked on this. I said we each have to take it in. When the other person plays, take it in, react, take it to the audience, respond. That way the audience, we really have to stage it like a musical.
I just want to let you guys know that our voices go in and out when video is playing. So we have to like talk when it's not playing.
Yeah, I'm trying to mute it.
So like, that's like I'm really shredding right now.
Yes.
Let's hear it.
Okay. Look, he's jealous. Look at him. Look at that face. Yeah.
I love that he's playing. This is the guitarist of Metallica giving you props. Like, were you on stage like being like, this is crazy. Like, why is he working with me?
Well, I was really nervous. The thing that made me the most nervous about him is that he's very, very, very used to being on stage a lot and in front of lots of people. And I am too. And I had to learn how to control my nerves when playing fast. Because when you try to play fast and you get nervous, your fingers can bunch up. And they get sticky. It feels like there's like honey on the fretboard. It's really scary. And when you're trying, when this kind of a thing, this wasn't a shred competition, but let's be honest, like I had to shred, but afterwards he was like, what is your live show? And I said, well, I played one by Metallica. And he said, you do? And I said, hey, I've got this great track. And I do, except when I do the solo, I use wah-wah. And he died laughing because that's one of the only solos that there's no wah-wah. He got the joke. And he was very sweet. He was very, very, very sweet.
Yeah. This is
and I just
cool.
said, look, I said, look, I'm a huge fan. This has meant so much to me. I said, when I saw the video for one, I said, it impacted me. It's such a work of art, a profound statement about war. And a kind of nightmare scenario that everyone imagines, right? Trapped in your own body. I was like, to go into that experience and create such a beautiful work of art. And when I saw that video, I said, this is like thrash music, but these are artists. And there's a vision, there's a depth here, And then you know, the my favorite album is the Black Album because I like a pop structure. I like a little more. I don't need 20 minutes of the, you know, I like a beginning, middle, end, please, you know. So I love that album and incredible videos. And he was very, very, you don't want to gush like that right away, but you have to eventually. Don't do it right away when you meet someone like that. That you can't do that as a fellow. That's no.
So you want a little plaque there, I see, of a wobble
yes.
plaque.
Yes, I don't know where that is. They haven't sent it to me yet. I have to contact Chris about that.
But that's great. And so Robert Trujillo was also there. So I like that you guys kind of worked it out, but still improvised within like the loose outline that you came up with. Is that what I'm gathering?
We came up with a real, like a, it was pretty set. I mean, the riffs that we played weren't set, but I knew like, don't blow your gun early.
And now at what point were you like, oh, I got this. Like, did the nerves shatter at any point? And then you were just like,
as soon as I came out and you just are in the flow. I mean, my biggest concern was that we would fall off the script and that the audience wouldn't be able to follow. The biggest thing with this was really making it clear who is winning and who is losing. And that there were rounds like a boxing match. And so it had to be clear, like, okay, that person won. Okay, that person. And so I would just thought if we get off script, the audience might get confused or maybe someone gets nervous. And as soon as I went out there and we got started, I knew this is going to be great. This is going to be so much fun. So, and it was just a little 7-minute masterpiece.
Great.
Definitely a lot of creativity, like all around. Very
yes,
cool.
And he and the Dunlop got into it with the giant wah-wah, and they had made a bunch of picks. Oh, yes. I need to send you guys some of these.
Oh, you know, I was going to ask you if you got to keep one of his guitar picks. If you guys,
I have a whole bunch of them, and then I got all these. Now all I have is all these wah-wah pedals.
I have this cool one. You guys need to get these.
These cool wah-wah pedal covers, Black Lives Matter.
Oh, that's nice. Cool.
I think they should make a Class War Now one, though.
It's nice, but it's like you're stepping on it, though, I feel.
That's true.
could you give us a little more playing? A little bit of shred?
Well, I love this. It's like the Johnny Carson show. You talk for a little, and then they go and do a song and come back and talk some more. Amazing.
While Mrs. Grabs her gear, I do want to mention that this week's episode of the Metal Injection Livecast is presented by Fate's Warning. This month, Fate's Warning will release their new album, Long Day, Good Night, via Metal Blade Records. Fate's Warning has been a formidable presence in progressive metal for more than 35 years, helping to shape and drive the genre without ever compromising their integrity or losing their relevance. Noah's a big fan of Fate's Warning.
What's up? I love Fate's Warning.
Fate's Warning return in 2020 with Long Day, Good Night, their most epic and longest album of their storied career. You can purchase your copy of Long Day, Good Night at metalblade.com/Fate's Warning.
That could be the episode title, really.
It's terrible. It's terrible. Totally. It's totally just destroyed by his legacy. Just when you put the two side by side, it's like it may be that what happened is that reality became more cartoonish than Borat, the character. Oh,
I thought you were saying Rob's Borat impression was terrible.
Oh, so did I. Second Borat was. Yeah,
that's
what I thought.
Well, we liked it for the most part.
No, your Borat was fantastic.
We did a review on it. It's
oh
on
yeah,
Patreon.
I did. That,
thank you.
Three of us liked it, and one of us hated it.
I didn't care too much for it.
I
but
do want to quick.
Okay, I'll just watch it that one.
The key to the original was the fact that there were interactions with real people, and then most of this were skits with an actress.
Yeah.
So it was just very different.
Oh, it was completely different.
The people they were interacting with.
Genuinely laugh out loud. There were a few moments where I really lost myself, but I lost myself a million times in that original film. There was a shot where he's at a rodeo and something insane happens and a horse with a woman and a flag collapses behind him. I mean, there were these incredible, just like cinematic, like really high concept moments in that original movie. I mean, lightning doesn't strike twice.
I think I said this in the Patreon, but just a little spoiler is that I agree with you. I think it's not as funny as the first one, but I think they knew going in what you just said is that you could never match the lightning that struck. So they went a completely different direction and made like a cinematic film out of the Borat story. And I thought in that context, they did a great job with that. That was my reaction.
I liked when he came out with the Rudy Giuliani and he came out to offer himself in a ridiculous outfit. I thought that was very funny. But there was all this stuff about scandal that like Rudy Giuliani would be on the bed, like unzipping his pants. And it's like, why? This young woman has thrown herself at him the entire time, is having a drink with him, goes into a bedroom with him. I mean, it would not be scandalous for him to think that would lead to something. She's been complimenting him and being so, you know, and so I was just sort of like, I don't really think that there's a shocking revelation in that. I mean, I guess it's funny, you know, that he would do that, but
I had an issue with it. Just made me think of revenge porn, and that's not something that I can get behind. And I just didn't appreciate it for that. I also thought they made a big deal out of it, like on social media, like it was going to be this big thing, and it just ended up being nothing. So
you don't have to get it behind when it's revenge porn. You can be in any position.
Karen knows all about it.
Oh,
no.
Gals out there.
There exists nary a foot of film of me having sex of any kind.
Coming for Karen.
Revenge porn coming for you.
Watch out! The DVD tapes are out there.
I don't want to ruin your song, but I can confidently say my penis has never been videographed in history.
Keep it in the shadows.
Well, you know, Rudy Giuliani is a big fan of revenge porn because he leaked all of that Hunter Biden porn. Sex tapes. They're not porn. He wasn't shooting it to like start Hunter Biden.
You don't know. He might have had an OnlyFans he was going to set up. And now it's ruined.
It only depends what you do with it.
At least someone's having fun out there.
Yeah. Doing some crack, fucking some hooch.
Hunter Biden clearly has a lot of fun. It came out this week that he spent like $21,000 on a cam model, which again, if put in the context of this guy is a like 100 millionaire, $21,000 would be like what to us is like $50, you know?
Better than putting it into a hedge fund.
Yeah. Do we know who the model was?
Cam Newton. The cam model.
Good for him.
I just spilled a little beer, so if you.
Well, and I think that my hope was that backfired terribly because everyone has someone in their life who's a recovering addict. You know, I mean, everyone knows someone who's been up and down the road with crack or heroin or alcohol. So to me, I just thought, well, they're just making everyone go like, that's just sad. Like, I wouldn't want my cousin who struggled with heroin to be on the news if there was a video of them using drugs, you know.
Right.
It has nothing to do with the, you know, election. And the revelation of nepotism. Shocking. You're kidding. Yeah.
Well, I think that's the worst thing about it. Certainly not that he had consensual sex with a woman or that he did drugs. I feel that's like trying to expose that shows the out of touchness of like Republicans and stuff, because that, like you said, I don't know if it necessarily backfired, but it wouldn't land the way they think it's going to. But I just think I think the nepotism aspect of it is way worse than the corruption aspect, because like the reason he has $21,000 to screw a cam model is because he had a $600,000 a year job because of his father in a foreign country doing a job he knew nothing about in a country they just did a coup in. So that's shocking to me. But like you said, oh my God, nepotism. Well, you turn on the news every day and Trump's mongoloid son and the son-in-law and daughter have jobs. So it's not shocking anymore. Everybody does it.
Psycho daughter.
So when Joe Biden does the same thing, it's like, well, you're attacking him. And yes, it is terrible, but you have no footing to really say anything about
it. But it's really liberals who should be attacking that type of... I mean, to me, the what was it, $180,000 a month or something? $150,000 a month? Wasn't that it, the wage?
For who, Hunter Biden?
Yeah, it was something like that. It was so much money.
It was a lot of money. I think it was $60,000
a month.
It was like, these are the types of numbers that we need to be publicizing, not to like get, you know, Joe Biden, but more to
Biden.
About income inequality.
To prevent people like Joe Biden from being the only chance to stop Donald Trump, I would say, is why we need to publicize that.
I want to quickly mention, before we get off Rudy Giuliani and Borat, that this month's top of the month Patreon bonus episode is a nearly 2-hour discussion about the new Borat movie.
It's longer than the movie itself.
Where the four of us, no Mrs. Smith, unfortunately, but she told you what she thinks.
You know what?
The four of us discussed the movie at great length, and you can listen to that and all of our previous bonus episodes for as little as $5 a month at patreon.com/metalinjectionlivecast. Last month, we did 2 horror movies. We did Watch Along, so you can watch the movies with us. We did Trick or Treat, which we liked, and Cannibal Holocaust, which we did not like. And previously, we did some other fun things like The Dirt. We did a watch along of The Dirt. We did a Hulk Hogan movie, Santa with Muscles. We did a Lords of Chaos roundtable discussion. Lots of fun episodes. Patreon.com/Metal Injection Livecast. And you get access to all video versions of our episodes. And you get access to Sid's weekly TV column. And is there anything else I'm forgetting?
Zoom Hangout this Thursday.
That's right. We're doing a Zoom hangout this Thursday evening. What time, Sid?
6 p.m. Eastern.
6 p.m. Eastern. We're doing a Zoom hangout. You can hang out with us. That's exclusively for patrons.
I have a really good trivia game to continue from last time. We didn't get to all the questions, and I added some more.
Nice.
Live cast trivia.
And hopefully
fan.
I won't blurt out the answers.
Yeah, that would be nice, but we can never count on that.
Rob's a wild card.
I just
started a Patreon and I love it. I find it really helpful.
Smith, what is your Patreon?
Yeah, plug it.
Smithcat MRS, like Smithcat Misses, one word. Smithcat Misses. But it really does create a deadline. Like it's like I feel it's good and a little income for me. Mm-hmm. So yeah. It's been good.
It definitely spurs us to do things. I'll tell you that.
Little extras, little behind, yeah.
Can I break in and give some election
partial
results?
Sure, what do we got?
So I'm just focusing on the swing states. I'm not looking at the
Mr. Smith, can you give us like a little election bumper riff?
Yeah.
Metal Injection Livecast election update.
So I'm only focusing on the swing states right now, not looking at the overall, because, you know, what does it matter if California? Yeah, we know where,
yeah,
we know where that's
from. Exactly.
Swing states, Florida. Trump is up 51.3% to 47.8%. So for about 4 points. Georgia, Trump up 14%.
Ooh.
Iowa, no results reported until 10 o'clock. Michigan, which Biden was winning when we started this show, Trump plus 13%.
Ooh,
New Hampshire in the bag. That's Biden. 54 to 44. North Carolina, which was about plus 10 for Biden, is now tied. 49.5 to 49.3 Biden by 0.2. Ohio plus 2 Trump.
Oh.
Pennsylvania is still Biden by 5%, but he was up about 12%,
oh,
I think.
Texas?
Texas plus 2 Trump, 2.1.
Oh. Wow.
And Wisconsin plus 4 Trump. So that's your swing state reports.
Can we get a swing state report outro, Mrs. Smith?
That's a sad sound. Huh? This is all, a lot of these are, Florida's done. Florida, I think NBC already called Florida, but a lot of these other ones are just like no more than half reporting. So if you're rooting for Biden, don't freak out yet. Only one that's gone is
breaking your own recommendation, Darren, and that you're giving results before they're fully tallied.
Well, people want it. I know what the audience wants. And it's not going to change. It's on the internet. It's not like I'm doing the polling.
Right.
Go
ahead now.
No, yeah.
No, I thought Ms. Smith was going to play.
No, go ahead. I'm just practicing.
She's tuning up.
I was going to ask, is that like an Eddie Van Halen?
Oh, yes.
Those are the stats I want to know. So,
this is an Edward Van Halen guitar crossed with a Steve Vai guitar.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
How did you get them to mate?
Is it an Ibanez?
It's an Ibanez guitar, yes.
Cool.
And yeah,
that's beautiful.
It's really
Ibanez is a Vai thing, but because Eddie Van Halen is a Fender guy, or like a Charvel. Am I getting this right?
You're trying to show your knowledge to Mrs. Smith. Signal.
So he made a Frankenstein guitar, but the first guitar he ever endorsed was actually the Kramer Pacer, which I have one.
Ooh.
I can't get it because of these headphones. I may be partnering. I can't talk about it. So anyway, the Pacer. But then his Frankenstein guitar that you know so well was actually just a neck he found in a box and a body that he found somewhere else, and he stuck them together. He made it. So I think it has a Kramer neck and a Stratocaster body, but it really was his Frankenstein creation.
He is a luthier. People don't give him the credit. He's an inventor.
Is that like being a Lutheran?
Lutheran, that's what I meant.
A luthier.
A luthier?
A luthier.
Yeah, luthier. I didn't know Kramer made guitars. I thought he got canceled for saying the N-word on stage.
He's different Kramer.
Oh, okay. Good, Kramer. Good. I don't want you to be involved with that, Mrs. Smith.
Real Kramer versus Kramer situation going on.
I watched that the other day.
Oh, my God. It's so traumatizing. You know what scary things in movies? One of the scariest things in movies is when that kid falls off the jungle gym. I lost it. Like, how do you show this in a movie? I was a kid when I saw this.
I've never seen a movie.
The upper
what movie?
Side. It was screaming.
Like, they're arguing or something, and they're not paying attention. The kid falls off the jungle gym. It's their kid that they're fighting over. And there's, like, there's a big bruise or something. And I'm like, oh, my God, what the fuck are you doing to this kid?
He's in his eye. But I thought Meryl Streep is barely in it. I don't know why I was watching it.
Oh, no. You're going to make him watch it again.
It's quarantine. We're out of movies.
This is his ex-wife's friend. Okay? And both their kids are at the playground, and they're divorcees.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
Oh!
Oh! No! Why'd you make me watch
that? That must be before they had labor laws.
When children could fall.
I haven't seen this in like 15 years, and I'm like, I thought it was the two parents arguing, but it wasn't. He was just him being a neglectful father, like flirting with this girl.
That's, well, he's actually quite an attentive father, but this could happen to any parent.
Well, the point is that he knows he's gonna eat shit for this because the kid got hurt under his watch.
Yeah, in the trial, he eats poo-poo for that, yeah.
Oh, so it's about a child custody? Is that what?
Yeah, Meryl Streep leaves him at the beginning. He's an admin, very over-involved in his career. And then she just – it's very much like – it's almost like the ending of A Doll's House by Ibsen, the classic drama. Up at the ending of that, she just packs her bag and says, I can't take it anymore, and leaves. And he has to learn how to father the child. And actually, I found it sort of moving and sort of like modern masculinity. It's boring. It's just, you know, him learning how to like give cereal to the kid, losing his job because he's never at work because of the kid. And
well, that era, what is that, 1980? Like that whole era is like boring ass adult drama movies were just championed for those 5 years. Like Ordinary People is another one. Like Woody Allen Interiors and all these like movies just where just adults like whine about everything and some of them are good. Like Ordinary People is a good movie. Even though it's good, it's fucking boring as shit.
But like the name alone, who wants to see that movie? Like who's running to the theaters to see Ordinary People? Come
You're
on.
Right. It's not good marketing. I think what their intent was that it's ironic, which is that like, you know, these are ordinary people, but they're not. They're really fucked up. But it doesn't come across when that's on the ticket. You know, it's like, who gives a fuck?
Also, this was smack dab in the middle of the era where people like Dustin Hoffman and Elliot Gould could be like legitimate Hollywood leading men.
Yes.
Which, you like, I look at that and I think I really missed my time.
You know, it's funny. It's like it's a small window because, like, right on the other side of that, you got Sean Connery. And you got, you know, like before that, like Clark Gable. Like,
yeah.
Very, it was handsome, handsome, handsome. Elliot Gould, Dustin Hoffman. Handsome, goes, just snaps back to Tom Cruise and all this.
The 70s were a really fucking weird time. That's all
but
there is to it.
It has a certain charm to it. Like, I like that Elliot Gould can be the leading man in the film, you know? Mm-hmm. It's interesting. It's something different. Like,
well, I'll get people to be famous again because the music was better.
That's, I mean, I don't know that is Elliot Gould even ugly? I think he's ugly. He's just not like super studly or anything, you know.
I thought Dustin Hoffman in his prime was a good looking fella.
But he's not. I understand what they're saying. He's not a box office kind of guy.
Yeah.
You know? I
would be the friend now.
Yeah. Who is Guy in Jaws, the Marine
Richard
biologist?
Dreyfuss.
I thought he was just so cute in that movie. I thought he was so cute.
You know what
ordinary looking, you know, not like model.
Someone suggested something to me, speaking of Richard Dreyfuss, which is to and I haven't done it yet. This might be interesting, though. We'll rewatch What About Bob and forget that it's a comedy. Just watch it neutrally, that you don't know Bill Murray's a comedian and you don't know any of these people. And they said it's the most harrowing stalker film that you've ever seen.
It's like a psychological thriller.
Yeah, I'm anxious to do it. It's a really, really good thought experiment because that is a very strange movie.
It is.
Yeah.
I'm out of things to watch.
Yeah, we're up to the point where we're rewatching movies in a different way now.
You
know what I've watched a million times, watched over and over in the pandemic, is Nathan for You, which I just think is no ever on TV, ever.
Oh, Mrs. Smith, speaking of that, have you seen How To with John Wilson? Do you know what that is?
No, but if it's a good new show, I'm very excited, Sid.
It premiered 2 weeks ago on HBO. It's produced by Nathan Fielder.
Okay.
But he's not in it. It's like this sort of documentary-esque thing. This guy, John Wilson.
Video essay.
Rob, I got Rob into it. Yeah, it's like video essays. There's like crazy, like just New York street footage that he weaves into this bizarro narrative. There's nothing else like it. You have to check
it out. The whole show is basically...
What is it called? I'm emailing it to myself now.
How To with John Wilson.
The whole thing is him basically doing a narration for 30 minutes with footage of New York City to accompany what he's saying. And sometimes it's like silly. Sometimes it's actually very artistic in like a weird way. It's very good.
I watched Song Exploder and I was like, I can't tolerate this new kind of editing and graphics. It's so pretentious. It was about REM, and I was like, I don't know. Everything is just so overdone. You know what I mean? It's just like.
I very nearly hit play on that like earlier this week, and I stopped myself.
The first one is Alicia Keys, and this is going to sound so mean, but does anyone really listen to Alicia Keys? I mean, really? And I was like, the first episode about us, about songs, great, about exploding great songs.
Yeah.
And it's Alicia Keys. Like, I just don't see her as up. I mean, I'm not losing my religion, REM, sure. It's a good song. But, like, what about, like, I don't know, other, you know, there's way better songs, right?
And no REM fan thinks that that's their best song.
Well,
sure.
They gotta pick the one that'll.
Free up. No.
Final. Any number.
I'll tell you what I rewatched recently was Cassandra Crossing. Have you ever seen that? But it's kind of relevant to today. It's like a 70s movie where there's this train, and the train's kind of it's like a cross country train, and it's carrying a deadly virus, like a biological weapon that has been released into the public. So it's about, you know, the effort to stop the deadly virus from infecting the entire world and becoming a pandemic. But it's got, first of all, it's got a great cast. It's got like Sophia Loren is in it, Ava Gardner, Martin Sheen, Burt Lancaster, and O.J. Simpson is in it.
Oh,
also.
God. Oh.
And the train's going towards a bridge that's out, and it's going to crash. But highly recommended because there's so many like cringe moments from what's happening now, you know?
But do we really want to go through that? right now?
I thought it was, I don't know. I like putting myself through awkward media sometimes.
You watch
Synecdoche, New York.
Breaking news.
Go ahead.
Oh boy.
Hold on.
AP has officially reported that you can legally, recreationally smoke weed in New Jersey now.
Woo! Wow.
All right.
Victories.
Which is good because now it puts the pressure on New York for legalizing weed because people are just going to be going to New Jersey to get some.
All that should just be taxed.
Exactly. And it's like we can use the tax revenue right now.
Reparations. I mean, God.
Breaking news. Potheads will continue to smoke weed. Nothing has changed whatsoever.
Don't break your bong, Rob.
Do drugs, you'll die.
Oh, hello.
Who
is that? Bob the Builder? Is that Bob the Builder?
I'm the white working class. I'm here to destroy your dreams.
Speaking of that.
The face of economic panic.
Yeah. I'm just going to scan quickly. I won't read them all out again. I'll just see if anything has flip-flopped or changed significantly.
Mention in Pennsylvania, the vote count was very low, I looked.
27% now.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean the turnout itself or the amount of...
The amount that they've collected, I meant.
Right. Yeah, that's like I said before. Well, no, some of them are significant now, like North Carolina,
Florida
90%.
Florida is pretty far along, 91%.
Florida and North Carolina are the ones that are almost done. Arizona's 70%, and that's 10 plus 10 Biden. That's the only one that he's really crushing right now. And New Hampshire, but that's actually tightening up, and that's 28%. I think he's going to win New Hampshire.
Locally, we have the DSA, Democratic Socialists of America, have congratulated Jamal Bowman.
Oh, awesome.
His victory in New York District 16.
I mean, that was pretty much a foregone conclusion.
Yeah.
On the primary.
You never know. You never know.
How's Max Rose doing?
District Austin City Council District 4. We have a lot of Julia Salazar, AOC, of course. But we've got a lot of local socialist movements. So that's good. I like that.
Oh, wow. Nicole Malliotakis is
she's
up 58.5 to 41. Max Rose is out.
What's the percentage there?
83%.
Oh, wow.
She's up by 40,000 votes.
Damn.
In a borough that has like 300,000 people.
See, everyone says New York is all blue. Not Staten Island, Bay Ridge.
Yeah. Well,
Bay Ridge is blue. Staten Island is not.
Is it?
Yeah.
Bay Ridge. It's purple, maybe.
Every other elected official we have in here that Staten Island didn't get to vote on is a Democrat.
I don't, that's true at the local level, but didn't Bay Ridge go to Trump though in the election?
I do not recall. Maybe
because I remember looking at the map and like everything below like Church Avenue is red almost. Well, everything.
Well, one thing I wanted to mention before we get out of here, the show is just flying by.
Oh my goodness!
The election slowly slips away from the Democrats' hands.
You're a doomer.
I want to mention. Flannington brought it up, and David Hasselhoff has a metal band or a metal project.
Oh,
or there's
no.
a metal project where David Hasselhoff is doing vocals. I guess that's
the headline that you wrote says has a metal band now.
Yeah.
But he clarifies it in the body of the article.
Oh, Rob, you should. Oh, wait.
Can I ask a question?
Right here.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Is this David Hasselhoff singing, or is it a band doing like Hate Beak where they just take the clips of David Hasselhoff?
No, the physical, literal David Hasselhoff is involved with the production.
Okay.
Also, you sort of bury the lead because from judging from this picture, Bill Burr is also in this band. And isn't he more famous now?
Yeah, I play drums, you know.
Good.
What are you going to do about it?
I gotta say,
identity politics.
I have mixed feelings about Bill Burr, like most normal people, but I will say I love him for one thing, and that is doing 15 minutes of trash talking Philadelphia on stage, ad lib in Philadelphia to a hostile crowd that's booing and throwing things at him. He would not get off. He just sat there and shit on Philadelphia for the entire set. And he, whatever else he does, I will always respect that.
Fair.
Well, this story is about David Hasselhoff, though.
Well, don't put Bill Burr on the screen and
yeah,
expect
really,
us not to talk about Bill Burr.
I'm sorry. You're right. It's very rude of me.
Can I get a temperature from the panel on another issue? And you may have covered this already.
Sure.
The Miley Cyrus Metallica album.
Oh, did we talk about this? Miley Cyrus is going to be doing a Metallica covers album. I think it's great. I know you're not a fan of Miley Cyrus, Mr. Smith. But as somebody who...
Monster.
Uh-oh. I think you're a damn fool.
Well, what are your thoughts on Miley Cyrus?
Yeah, what do you think, Mrs. Smith?
She is famous because her father is famous. And if she had to sink or swim on the quality of her voice, she would not be in the music business.
I could not agree more with that.
How is the Hunter Biden of pop?
She absolutely is. She's a very good karaoke singer. Very good karaoke singer. You'd be like, oh, that girl can sing. Wow, she should be on America's Got Talent. She is not a star. She is not a star. And I was battling it out on Kazoom. What is that other site?
Facebook.
Bizarre.
Correct.
Correct. Oh, correct.
Battling it out in the comments. People saying she has a magnificent voice. These were Russian trolls. And I said, Barbara Streisand is a magnificent voice. Celine Dion, Whitney Houston. These are magnificent voices. This is a person who can sing in tune, yes. Mm-hmm. But she's a cosplayer. All she does is cosplay. Look at what a bad girl I'm being. And real bad girls don't do that. They just, all right, that's me.
But when,
I appreciate the candidness.
But when look at what else is there. Look at what else is on the radio. Like, compared to them, she is a fabulous singer. I agree 100% with your assessment. But I understand why people think she's a great singer, because there are no great singers hardly anymore.
It's garbage. It's very, you don't know what's going on.
So if you actually sing, when you do a concert, you're like now, you know, Tina Turner or something.
I came in like a stupid bitch.
Oh.
Kidding. What? No, but I'm sorry. What does everyone else think? I'm dominating. Sorry.
Well, I would say, as somebody in metal media and somebody who is dying for any sort of mainstream attention for heavy metal.
Yeah.
I think in that sense, it's very good for heavy metal that it will get the attention, and she does seem to be a genuine fan. She's working with Andrew Watt, who is a genuine metal fan. He produced the last Ozzy album, so I think it'll be an okay, like you said, America's Got Talent album. And if it gets even 1,000 people into heavy metal, I think it's a success for metal. And I think that's, like, in the bigger picture, you know, for metal to be viable and to keep going, it needs to make new young fans.
What if all it does is get 1,000 Metallica fans into Miley Cyrus?
Could be. They could already be. They're all dads and stuff.
The Black Mirror.
Yeah. Oh, it could be something where, like, dads can get their children to listen to the music that they like. See, it's Miley Cyrus playing the songs that daddy likes.
But I thought that, you know, I thought she was good in that Black Mirror episode until I realized, wait a second, this is... Britney Spears should be the one in this show in telling this story. You know, she's the one, she's being literally controlled her life, you know, by the pop machine. But yeah, she did a good Nine Inch Nail song in that. That's maybe where she got the bug.
So what songs, is there a song listing yet?
No, that's all we know so far. She hasn't she's putting out a rock album next month.
What are the odds that Enter Sandman is not on that album?
Well, the thing is, what I thought about was that, you know, she's a singer, quote unquote. So they have to be songs that, like, would appeal to a singer. So it's not going to be like Enter Sandman. Is there really Like, you know what I mean? I think it's going to be more the ballad. It's like Nothing Else Matters.
Yeah. But she could turn anything into a ballad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, well, yeah, listen, if Tori Amos can do Raining Blood, I mean, you know.
Yeah, I guess they could make it.
Almost anything, you know. So.
Sorry, what did you say?
Shout pitch to almost anything. I mean, that, actually, what's good is that she's actually, she is a shouter, which is weird when it's like Dolly Parton, you know, it's like a ballad and there's acoustic guitar and she's shouting. But maybe inside heavy metal, she'll actually just go to the limit. Whereas shouting over, you know, prettier sounding music can just be like, match.
But, I just want metal to be cool again. So if she can give it a little boost.
I didn't like, so I see what you mean about like her not having that star quality. I don't think she possesses it. I definitely, like, it definitely seems manufactured on her. Her voice does have like this interesting, like rusty quality, but I don't think it's because she's professionally trained. I think she's actually just like misusing her vocal cord and it's just becoming like raspy as she goes along. But a friend of mine, a comedian, he just like went down this rabbit hole on Twitter and he posted videos of her covering Zombie and then like Hall and Oates. I think she did a cover of Maneater. And I was like, oh, okay, this isn't like that bad. So I guess I agree with you, Mrs. Smith. She's a very good karaoke singer and she'll be just fine doing the Metallica song.
It's incredible that it used to be like, oh, there's this new band, like, have you heard of them? Like, they're called Queen. Like, I'm going to go buy their album. And that was the new song. And now it's like, oh, this link to a cover isn't that bad.
Yeah.
It's like,
there was always also just like garbage pop music, though.
But we don't
Captain
have
and Tennille and whatnot.
We don't have the Queen of today.
Right. We always had the pop music, but we don't have the.
We don't
companion.
Have the exalted, you know. I don't
What's
know.
What's that? What's that rock band that people thought was going to save rock and roll 2 years ago, Rob?
Greta Van Vliet.
Yes.
Greta Van Vliet.
That's...
Yes. they're about to put out a new record.
Ooh.
But you know, who else is putting out a new record? It's David Hasselhoff. Before we wrap up the show, I do want to just play some of this.
There's,
I want to point out.
It's the commercial.
Yeah, so you can't quite hear what David Hasselhoff is doing. You have to contribute to the Kickstarter first for them to go into the studio and record this masterpiece.
Well, can you pause it for 1 second?
Yes, I'm sorry.
I just wanted to say that he has had so much plastic surgery that it sounds like he can't pronounce his own name because the mouth movements are not sufficient. Listen, he's
so
Andrew.
Van Fleet.
Ooh.
Wrote this song. It's called Greta Van Fleet. There's a Greta Van Fleet in your backyard, and they're buying legal weed from the next door neighbor. Ooh. They wrote that song.
Yeah, that
it
was
sounds
them,
very
for
original.
Sure.
Greta Van Fleet. Greta Van Fleet.
And it makes me wonder who likes Greta Van Fleet.
They literally wrote it.
It's beautiful. I like Greta Van Fleet now. It's strange. I never did before, but now that you told me they wrote that song.
I'm sorry. Go to the Hasselhoff. Go to the Hasselhoff. I had to just interject.
I loved that. I loved it. Nothing to apologize for.
Slackjaw. Can you pause it? David Hasselhoff, if you watch the 10 seconds of that video, is so into it. And the other Bill Burr guy is like, yeah, we just did a song.
I can't believe it.
So crazy.
Yeah, which is the thing we're doing, you know, whatever.
Life is a big joke. Some people are jokes like Dave Hasselhoff.
Look, he's wearing a shirt of, like, he's wearing his own shirt. Isn't that, like, not allowed?
Don't hassle the Hoff.
He's the Jason Newsted of whatever the fuck this is.
David Hasselhoff.
I was going to say there's, like, a mustard stain on his shirt right there, but it's actually something on my screen, so I'm just going to keep it.
Let's hear it.
Okay.
A making fuck documentary?
It sounds like
it's technically it's a making fun of a documentary. We're making fun of David Hasselhoff.
Just you do a stupid shit. You just fill time. You know, whistling guitar, person standing. It's all stupid shit.
Yeah, we got really high in the quarantine, and somebody, one of my friends, said we should get fucking David Hasselhoff to do an album with us. And I was like, yeah, okay. And then it actually fucking happened.
Our culture is an empty shell.
I also love that they're like, oh, we made a cinematic music video. I'm sure it's very cinematic, you know?
They outlawed goose stepping in Germany. You know, we don't have a lot to do now, so we called up David Hasselhoff.
These two guys that are like the side musicians look like if the dudes from Ministry worked at Starbucks. Does that make sense?
They're guitaring. I need to hear the song. Rather than he's dead. Hell. Why? Sounds like garbage.
It costs a lot of money to get David Hasselhoff in the room. So now
we literally plugged into like a simulator amp and did automated drums from Superior Drummer that sound like garbage.
Yeah.
That some gent kid loser did.
So join me, Dollar Store Paul Scheer, and my
friend. Join me, Simon Pegg, little brother crazy.
Maybe Simon Pegg, along with one of the twins from The Matrix.
Simon Pegg gave Bill Burr a baby. He gave him a baby. I came out as baby. Genetic gay genes of a gay baby.
And my good friend, a poor attempt to clone Adam Duritz on my left here.
Damn it! That was going to be my next term.
Oh, sorry.
It is me, German Moby with a beard.
Wonder where he been. I've been in Germany becoming a German.
Have you ever wondered what music would sound coming out of a hexagonal face? Well, now you don't have to wonder anymore.
Hexagonal face. That's the episode.
He's nice green eyes. So he's nice green eyes.
Yeah.
Where are they? A lighting? A store that rents stage lights?
We didn't want to sacrifice creative freedom. We didn't want any label telling us how the Hoth should sound.
Unfortunately, the video looks like it cost 99 cents because we used all the budget on CGI-ing this making of the video for some reason. Now we're sitting on a sci-fi purple hallway.
We go back. That's a drop. That's a drop we're going to use from now on.
Which one?
How postmodern. They're undermining their own project.
I'm going to play that anytime Rob says something like burnout related. Is that burnt?
Right? Is that right, burnt?
A lot of credit. I give them a lot of credit.
Man, and I mean nothing. These guys.
Make opportunity. I want to hear the music.
You got to
like
pay for it.
A little bit.
It's not ready yet.
But you
even
hear
if
him
you pay
singing
for it,
in the beginning.
Yeah, you just hear it at the beginning.
You hear him singing, and it sounds good.
Let me do my Trump dance. So it's like a power metal song.
Do the night.
I also like that they're like, we actually shot a music video with David Hasselhoff.
You believe it?
Can you believe that we actually did it?
Mrs. Smith, didn't you? I know we can't play the Hasselhoff, but I heard that you got an MP3 of one of their songs. Like, could you play your rendition of
what
the David Hasselhoff song sounds like?
Of course, I'd love to.
This is an exclusive here.
Oh, wow. This
Metal Injection Livecast. She's plugging in to play the David Hasselhoff song with the band Cusack.
Into the night forever. Into the night for never. Into the fall when the leaves come down from the trees.
plus.
Wow.
There aren't enough metal songs about fall.
Mrs. Smith, thank you so much for joining us. This episode has completely flown by.
This really occupied me in a good way because I was bored all day and I was like, I'm not going to check the news. And this gave me something to focus on. So thank you guys so much. You know, I adore you. And we're going to have to, you know, obviously create a kind of anarcho-syndicalist band, you know, in a couple of days and start just torching stuff, just throwing the landlords into the well, you know. So sharpen your knives.
There isn't anyone I would want in my bunker more than you, Mrs. Smith.
Do we want to meet up like on Atlantic Avenue for some looting tonight? Are we all ready?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Okay.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah, let's
yeah we can go to Guitar Center.
Guitar Center.
Apple products.
I thought Guitar Center was out of business.
Well,
no, they filed for bankruptcy.
Oh. That's so, yeah, let's kick them while they're down.
Yeah. That's the American spirit.
USA. USA. I want to thank you, Mrs. Smith. Mrs. Smith, can you give us the Patreon address?
Oh, patreon.com/SmithCatMRS, like Smith Cat Misses, the abbreviation.
Is there anything else you want to plug?
Oh, well, check out my video, Antifa Niece, on YouTube. Share it. Listen to it. You can listen to it on Spotify and all those other horrible platforms that, you know, pay like micro cents. You know, it's like you get, they actually just like, they send you an envelope and you open it and it's like, there's an atom of a cent.
You get like Abraham Lincoln's tooth.
Yeah, no. You get the idea of money.
Yes.
No.
Oh, that reminded me. We didn't mention our Spotify playlist.
Playlist where we add some music throughout the week. Check that on our profile page. And also, please give us a nice little 5-star rating on your podcast app of choice. I would really appreciate that. It would mean a lot to me.
Only Rob personally. Would appreciate it, though,
the
like
rest
he said.
Yeah, the rest of us
only he
appreciate it. And I do want to shout out our top Livecast fans of the week. If you pay $10 a month on our Patreon, you get to be a top Livecast fan of the week where you get a shout out. Mr. Smith, could you play a little backing music, perhaps an acoustic? It doesn't have to be electric.
Yes, and I'm going to go mood lighting.
Oh.
You look like you're on the set of a Cusack with David Hasselhoff, with that purple hallway, sci-fi hallway.
Could you believe we shot a Patreon video with Mrs. Smith?
Oh, my
it's
goodness.
It's very cinematic.
She was actually on our Patreon.
Why'd they name their band after John Cusack? That's what I want to know.
He's a great actor.
Joan Cusack.
Could have been Joan. Joan's amazing. She's a national
she's a wonderful
treasure.
Actress.
John's good, too.
Yeah. I'm going to do a kind of ambient thing.
Okay.
Do your shout outs.
Here are our top Livecast fans. Robert Ganoush, aka Justin. Benjamin. Well, do the remote. Gender. There's a few more. LaCroix. Microstation sensation. AKA Customer. Ash Puzzle. Dallas. Rafa. Lando Dang. Hey guys, it's Josh. Those are our top Livecast fans of the week. Thank you, Ms. Smith. That was wonderful.
Can we get that all the time? That ruled.
I have these little ambient settings.
Mrs. Smith, thank you so much. Thank you to all of our listeners for tuning in. We are live every Tuesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern, and you can download us after. Thank you, Tiny Terror, in our YouTube chat. Goodbye, everybody.
Stay positive. It's all going to be okay.
Oh. Maybe.
Maybe. Great. Thank
Yay.
You so much.
Awesome. Is it
yeah,
off?
We're done.
Yes.
We're off.
God, wow.
That was so fun.
I'm really worried by those screens that you were showing, Darren. I'm really worried now.
What do you mean? The
Biden was win by like a landslide, so I'm getting worried now.
Well, like I've been saying for a while, the best thing to do to relieve stress is not give a fuck. Makes it a lot easier. I'm waiting to see who my enemy is.
It's and still early.
Really, yeah.
It's really early.
Then we start obstructing.
Right. Okay. Thank you, guys. This is fun.
Thank you. You really made the show fly by.
Thank
you for being so
thank
willing
you for
to
playing.
Play. Yeah.
Yeah.
You were a great sport about that.
And anytime you need, like, if you need, like, cat puppets.
Yeah, we definitely not enough cat puppets on this episode, I think.
This puppet collection was called Community of Helpers. So it's all these like a nurse. Just like that.
I really thought that was Bob the Builder.
They each have two people. So he's a builder, but he's also like a child.
Oh, wow.
Hey, whatever you say to the white working class, understand that we, every one of us grown men with these big biceps and arms and big fat bellies, we one day used to be little children.
Two-faced.
Yeah.
That's good. We should release that as an extra.
Right. All right, you guys.
All right.
Thank you. Listen, good luck. We'll talk soon, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Stay safe.
Bye-bye. Bye.